Well, hello there. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I'm Bill Knight. How are you? It's Friday, man. We're getting ready for the weekend, the nice, long Memorial Day weekend. And by the way, Monday, Congress has declared, for Memorial Day, remembrance at 3 o'clock for those that gave their life
for
this country. Yeah. And I think that we should also maybe just briefly remember that for these guys that died fighting for this freedom in this great country that we have, we should remember some of the things about the guy that's really busy right now trying to tear the damn thing down. Joe Biden, inflation.
Inflation. That's one of the things. How about no border wall?
Oh,
you know, no security on the border.
You know, open up that border. We're the only nation in the world that is being so kind as to open up the border. How nice of us.
20 years, we fight in Afghanistan, and one day he just pulls us out and leaves everything behind, including
contradicting something that he said a couple of years ago when he was thinking about running, saying, hey, we can't leave that hardware behind.
That's right.
Because they'll take it and stick it up our bums.
Do you know, about 2 weeks before he did it, some reporter asked him a question about that, and he said, no, I would never leave any Americans behind. And then 2 weeks later, he did exactly that. There's still some Americans stuck behind the lines in Afghanistan.
Americans and new hardware. So let's remember in our remembrance what Joe did there. What else has he done?
Let's see. He's made us fuel dependent on communist nations. How's that?
Oh, well, you know, and that reminds me of something I'm going to talk about later. But yeah. Okay. And he's squeezing off the very last trickles of oil that we produce. As we speak, he's shutting them down. Way to go. I'm not even going to say Brandon. Joe, you need all the credit, Joe, because you're doing, he's doing so many wonderful things to this.
A couple of days ago, he signed an executive order, putting some limitations on the police, which is another thing he's done for our betterment. And he said this. He sounds like a unifier. Listen.
As we've seen all too often, public trust is frayed and broken. And that undermines public safety. For the families here today and across the country who have had to ask, why this nation? Why so many black Americans wake up knowing they could lose their life in the course of just living their life today? Simply jogging, shopping, sleeping at home. Whether they made headlines or not, lost souls gone too soon. Members of Congress, including many here today, like Senator Cory Booker and Congressman Karen Bass, alongside members of the Congressional Black Caucus, House and Senate Judiciary Committees, spent countless hours on the George Floyd Justice Policing Act to find a better answer to that question.
Wow.
What a friggin' liar. And I didn't say the word. I said friggin'.
Yes, so you can look it up. Yes.
But the point is, he has and always will be a racist. Now, I was involved with the discrimination lawsuit with one of the top civil attorneys there, on the side of a guy that was a dear friend of mine. But, he said, once a racist, always a racist.
Well, let me tell you.
And that goes along with.
Let me tell you who his friends were.
Yeah.
Robert Byrd, former longtime senator from West Virginia, former member of the Ku Klux Klan. He was a racist, and he was a buddy of Joe Biden.
Kamala even said he was a racist. Come on, man.
Strom Thurmond.
Yes.
Another guy who was a racist was a buddy of Joe Biden. Joe Biden said some things that I won't even repeat. I've heard them. I've heard the tape.
Yes.
Derogatory remarks about people of color. And then he stands up there and talks like he just talked, which is so, so artificial. Here's what he said at his inauguration. See whether this sounds like a unifier.
And now, a rise of political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism, that we must confront and we will defeat. Our history has been a constant struggle between the American ideal that we're all are created equal and the harsh, ugly reality that racism,
nativism, fear, demonization have long torn us apart. The battle is perennial.
The battle is perennial. Thanks to him. Thanks to him, it's perennial. You know? Thanks to
him. You know, the other thing they say, once a liar, always a liar. He's lied from the beginning
yes.
and all the way through. He was lying there. He's taking coined phrases that he probably didn't even know what the hell they were until somebody said, well, here's some money, Joe. And oh, by the way, here's your script right here, you stupid old man.
Well, you know, I'm sure we have the audio somewhere, but I can't find it now. But you probably have seen it on TV where, as a young man, younger man, a younger senator, he talks about, I'm sure my IQ is smarter than you, he says to a reporter. I got so-and-so scholarships to law school. I was in the upper 10% of my law school class. And then I decided I didn't want to do it, and I was in the bottom. And then I decided I want to do it again. I graduated cum laude from this. I got double scholarships. And then the reporters... The reporters
they all called him idiots. Well, there was Sam Donaldson.
Yep,
Sam Donaldson, good reporter, and he was a liberal.
I know, and he came out and said all those things you just heard, a lie.
Yeah, so a liberal just called him a liar from the get go. Connie Chung called him an idiot and a liar.
Well, this is the guy we have as president,
Ted Koppel, and the list goes on.
But now the reporters of today. The reporters of today cover for him. They cover his fanny.
Well, the older ones know, the younger ones don't, because they've been given a new narrative, which is something Democrats do. Hey, we don't like the story. Hey, if you don't like the outcome, change it. Change the narrative. Change mm-hmm. how this thing, change the writing of it. They're lying for him, and it's a downright crying shame. And so they're taking a false narrative. You know, you want a big lie, it's Joe Biden.
Tucker Carlson, a couple of days ago, commented about that last bit of audio that you just heard at the inauguration. This is Tucker Carlson.
Huh? What was that? That wasn't the deal. We got rid of the orange man, and you're still calling me racist? Why are you doing that? Why aren't you trying to unite the country? Why don't you win over the people who didn't vote for you? They didn't spend one day doing that. Instead, they moved in the opposite direction at high speed. They all of a sudden declared that trespassing was a felony and threw Trump voters in prison. A lot of them are still there. They said about politicizing the most heavily armed federal agencies from the FBI to DHS to the Pentagon. That should make you nervous. And they did it for a reason, because they believed their political opponents were criminals. And you know that because they said so. They called them Nazis and white supremacists. You're not a Nazi or a white supremacist. Why are they calling you that? Why are they denouncing you as a seditionist, an enemy of the state? Why are they demanding that government censor and disarm you? Because they think you're a terrorist. They deployed thousands of National Guard troops to your capital and kept them there for months. What? Against Americans? We weren't being invaded. Those were Trump voters they claimed to be afraid of. They began using language that even the most radical Democrat in Congress just 6 years ago would have thought was way too extreme. And it wasn't just a few of them who did this. Virtually all of them did it.
Certain dates echo throughout history. December 7th, 1941. September 11th, 2001. And January 6th, 2021.
Similar to Pearl Harbor and 9/11.
We can now add January 6th, 2021 to that very short list of dates in American history that will live forever in infamy.
The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
And this was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
The worst single act of political violence since the Civil War.
The worst attack on American democracy, arguably, probably, since the Civil War.
The 1-6 attacks are likely to kill a lot more Americans that were killed on the 9/11 attacks.
January 6th was worse than 9/11.
Why are they talking like that? It's so obviously untrue, and yet they're all reading from the same script. There has to be a purpose here. They're not doing this accidentally. People don't use identical chunks of language on the same day by accident. They thought this through. And then they began putting people on television whose only qualification was their willingness to say things that, again, 3 years ago would have been considered beyond the pale. And that's just a few of them, a lot of them. Here's a former Trump administration lackey telling you with a straight face that the Republican Party is a bigger threat to this nation than Al-Qaeda or ISIS.
Radicalized elements of the Republican Party now represent a bigger threat to our democracy than organizations like Al-Qaeda or ISIS ever did. Now, not necessarily to human lives, not necessarily, but a bigger threat to our democracy than those terrorist groups ever did.
So why are they talking this way? Well, what else are they going to talk about? Their record in Detroit for the last 60 years? No. The Democratic Party decided the only way it could maintain power, win the next election, is to convince you, the voter, that the other side is dangerous, literally dangerous, not metaphorically dangerous, actually dangerous to your life.
And of course, one of the people that they're going after is Tucker Carlson, because he speaks the truth.
Well, what they're doing, it's called, I believe the word is called doxing. Basically, they're going to take the guy and malign him, vilify him, and do everything they can to destroy him.
And lie. And lie.
Everything's a lie, but that's what they're doing. I told you about the guy. I had a phone call. I'm not going to go into a long detail. There was a journalist a few years ago. He started out as a liberal. Then he turned to the right, and then he realized there's bad on the right. So he kind of, you know, said, nah, forget it. I'm not political at all. But he was doing a documentary film on Antifa and BLM, and they came up and they got it on film, which was taken off the internet. You can't see this, that they confronted him and did all this stuff. So the guy took to what would have been, I'd call, a little bit crazy. He became the Gypsy Crusader. I think his name is Paul Martin or something like that. But either way, because I got a friend that's doing the documentary on him, and I'm like going, dude, you got to be careful, because you are going to do this and you're going to put yourself on every liberal Antifa and BLM list that is out there. And of course, there was another guy that he got in the interview. It's the guy that owned the gyms down in, where is it, New Jersey?
Yeah, I think it's called the Atlas Gym down in New Jersey.
Smith is his last name. Now he's running as a Republican, as a successful candidate for the midterms. But he was doxxed too, because he wouldn't close his gym because of COVID.
And fined tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So there's two sides of the coin. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But 99% of the time, you're going to lose against this machine that has been around. You know what? The Civil War was never won. And they're alive and well with our president, Nancy, and Schumer, and Schiff, and the whole crew.
I think of, they talked about, this is the worst thing that's happened, January 6th is the worst thing that's happened to our country since the Civil War. Think of how ridiculous that is. We had World War II, World War I, all of them were threats to our democracy, because if Hitler had won in World War II, we would be goose-stepping in this country. That's a threat to our democracy. And also, also, please don't lump January 6th with the Civil War. In the Civil War, Bill, we lost 650,000 men, if you take both sides. 650,000 people died. In January 6th, we lost, what's her name, the Babbitt? I can't think of her name, her first name. But you know,
I know, but she was shot,
A terrific lady who wasn't carrying a gun. She was in the wrong spot, and some wrong-thinking security person, the Capitol policeman, decided to shoot her for no good reason, and in my opinion. Ashley Babbitt?
I think that's the name. I don't quote me on it, because I have a terrible thing with names.
She was a 14-year veteran of the Air Force. She was somebody who had given 14 years of her life to the U.S. Air Force as an American patriot, and for that, that guy thought he could just kill her. And what does he get as a reprimand? Why, he gets he gets an interview with Lester Holt on NBC. They do this, and it's a kissy face, huggy bear interview.
Yeah.
Oh, I like you. You like me. Were you scared? Of course I was scared. All these things that you just makes you want to puke. And also, I think he got a medal, Bill, from the Capitol Police.
Yeah, he did. You know what? I am scared for you. I am scared for every man, woman, and child out there. I'm afraid for mothers that want their kids to go to school, not because of a lack of gun control, but because of the idiots running this country, because they don't care about your child. They don't care about you. They care about their greed and their power. And that's all this is about. Whatever, that's you know, true. Whatever switch they got to flip, whatever lie they got to tell, whoever's life they got to destroy, they will do it to get what they want. And that is, you know, absolute power. You've got what's going on in the Ukraine. I think it's a bunch of BS that we are there. There's a rumor that China wants to go to war with us. And then it makes you go, well, maybe this Wuhan thing was the softening, the first step to soften the country. We were locked up. Our economy's going to hell. We don't have gas anymore. We're looking to a communist country now that we might get some oil from. You know, you got Biden that squeezed the last production drop of oil that we got, so we got nothing. We're going to be without food in the next coming weeks. We're going to be crippled on our knees. And then there's, you know, China that's talking about possibly taking us on, and you got a guy that's beholden to him. He is, if you dot the I's and cross the T's, the communist.
I got to read something to you. This is something that I have a friend in England, nice people, and they posted this, and I thought, and she's, I think she's a bit of a liberal, and that's okay. That's all right, mm-hmm. But she has, anybody who listens to this program has a right to be what they want to be. We appreciate the fact that at
God
least—
Yeah, God bless you. If you listen and you disagree, I don't care.
But she wrote this, and she said, a clever poem and unfortunately how most of the world views the U.S. This is the poem. It's called America is a Gun. England is a cup of tea, France a wheel of ripened brie. Greece a short, squat olive tree, America is a gun. Brazil is football on the sand, Argentina, Maradona's hand, Germany, an Oompa Ben, America is a gun. Holland is a wooden shoe, Hungary is a goulash stew, Australia, a kangaroo, America is a gun. Japan is a thermal spring, Scotland is a highland fling, oh, better to be anything than America as a gun. The guy who wrote that is a guy named Brian Bilston. I would suggest that's a simplistic and unrealistic evaluation of the United States. And also, by the way, Bill, that is the view of somebody who apparently doesn't live here. Doesn't live.
Well, I mentioned that.
And one of the other things I was going to say is that America may be a gun, but it was our guns that saved the bacon of many of the countries in Europe that were being hammered by the Kaiser and mm-hmm. then by Adolf Hitler. So if America is a gun, it's a gun that came to their rescue and saved their bacon many, many times. So if I, as an American, sound a little irritated at that poem, not the person who sent it to me, don't, they're good people. And I think a lot of people over here would take offense to this poem.
Well, I think your addendum to it is a good addendum. I'd like to have a copy of that, but right.
I'll send it to you, Bill.
You know, because it's still, we are a villain. And that's what it really says. In the eyes of the world, we are pure evil. Has nothing to do with guns. Switzerland, do you know that they're what, 8.3 million people?
Mm-hmm. I think New York City's bigger.
You're allowed to own guns there. And so a quarter of the population there owns a gun.
How about Norway? Norway's had a history of murders recently with knives.
Yeah. Switzerland has zero of them because you know, you're vetted. You go to gun training. Hey, buy what you want. But, you know, in the United States, I think that we are being set up in a big way. My son made an interesting observation. You called when he had, just before he had made the observation.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, are we witnessing something new in history or something in history that's happened before? Because he goes, you know, we were modeled after the Roman Empire, the Republic. He goes, are we, you know, a representative republic where you get to vote? We're not a democratic democracy, you know, because they vote amongst themselves. You, the citizen, can't vote, which is what Democrats say. My democracy, my democratic democracy. They're saying that they're telling you what they want to be in control. But
they're telling you they're telling you that they don't understand what we are. That's what they're telling you.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I'm Joe Biden in the... the Second Amendment is not absolute. Well, if it's not absolute, the whole damn Constitution is not absolute because, you know, and they want to do that anyway. They want to destroy it. But his point was, you know, every great empire has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe we might be a little young for that, but when you look at the history and all the signs out there of an empire that's going to fall, we're it. Now, you got to wonder if we fell. If we fell, what would happen? Be like when the Soviet, when Gorbachev was there and they broke up, like the Ukraine, which was a state, is out of it. You got the, you know, all the other 13 states. Well, we got 50 states. Now, would some of them plan together and become,
I think so,
their own country, like the red states in the Midwest?
Yeah, I do. I think you'd see the blue states kind of group together. New England, for example, a lot of blue states up there. In little states that you might be one region, New York, New England, maybe Pennsylvania, although Pennsylvania is a strange state. It's pockets of big blue, Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, Philadelphia, surrounded by a population. Well,
they might be annexed by Jersey or something like that.
But I think you would see Texas as a separate country. Mm-hmm. I said to my wife, if that were the case, would you consider moving there? We both thought for a second, yeah.
All right, before I mention this, you've already had that scenario in your mind.
Oh, absolutely.
So that means that other people have thought about it because people are sitting there going, Colombia, you know, Trump's getting in trouble for it, but it was what, the Colombian president? Was it that?
Yeah.
I got the right guy?
El Salvador.
El Salvador. Yeah. Yes. United States is on the brink of a civil war. Mm-hmm. How many times, and let's be honest, have you heard it either muttered or mumbled by even Democrats? Everybody's talking about it. It's scary times.
Everybody's talking anti-gun, right? Everybody is telling us how we have to drop the Second Amendment, how we have to have more restrictions on weapons. They want to confiscate our guns, pure and simple. That's what they want, the left. But they don't want to do it for the reason, by the way, that they're telling you. They're not saying it. You should get rid of your guns because we don't want any school shootings. They want a weaker and more subservient country. And if we have no weapons, that's exactly what we are. But tomorrow night, I believe it's tomorrow night, President Trump will speak at the NRA convention. He says America needs real solutions and real leadership in this moment. It's good to hear him say that. A lot of people are thinking that if we can win in November and we can then go ahead with either investigations into 2020, that there might be some change in the making before 2024.
I remember when Trump won, all the Hillary people said, he's not my president, but they never said President Hillary. And what she did beforehand, it's been proven. You know, they talk about January 6th.
Hmm.
Let's go back and talk about 2016 and the Russiagate collusion story that was made up by Hillary and her cabal. That is the crime of the century.
Miranda Devine is a writer for the New York Post. Very good writer. Very fair writer, although I'm sure people on the left can't stand her. She's from Australia originally. She's really laser-focused on her stories, and she gets the facts. And she's been following the Sussman trial, which, of course, if I were Hillary, I would be concerned and I would be following that trial because it has a direct connection to her. And she was on with Pete Hegseth on Fox News.
Right.
And here's what she said.
I want to get your take on one other topic as well this morning, because the Sussman trial continues. And the prosecutors in that case, Miranda, presented the jury with his billing records, which they say prove that he charged the Clinton campaign for that fateful 2016 meeting with the then FBI general counsel, where he shared alleged covert communications between Trump and Russia. So he went to the FBI and said, I'm just here helping you out on personal, you know, to help you look into this. But the same day he billed the Clinton campaign for the meeting. And man, and then you've got the text messages on top of that, the acknowledgement by Robbie Mook that Hillary Clinton knew about this. It feels like an open and shut case, but is it?
Look, the details are just delicious, the way they're rolling out. And, you know, there you have a lawyer, as per usual, he's hoisted on his own petard because he couldn't help but charge the Clinton campaign $800 per hour. He's got in his bills 3.3 hours to perpetrate this dirty tricks campaign against Donald Trump on behalf of Hillary Clinton. I mean, you know, Sussman is up for misleading, lying to the FBI, but really at the heart of this is Hillary Clinton. She sanctioned, she approved this attempt to dirty up Donald Trump and paint him as an agent of the Kremlin. You know, the ramifications of that dirty trick went on, crippled the Trump presidency, did great damage to this country, was the source of a lot of the rancor and division that we see now, and God forbid, also was part of the, you know, Putin's invasion of Ukraine and the damage that's done to everyone in the world. So this is not a trivial issue. It may seem that the charge is small, but actually the ramifications and the report that will come from John Durham are momentous.
Isn't that amazing? Hillary is so connected to this whole mess, this whole web of deception and this whole web of evil. The guy is probably the first president in the history of our country who came into office with all of this subterfuge, all of this, the FBI checking him out, with Hillary throwing in false stories, all of this confusion. To me, that's a treasonous act. Do you know what I'm saying?
It all is. But you know what? It's still going on, even though she's being tried for it, outside of it, by the willing media, I don't know what else to call it, and all the other players in this game, they're still carrying out the lie and trying to sit there and dig. January 6th, where was the balance of people there to go after this? No, it was all Democrat. It was a witch hunt.
Yeah.
When you look
yeah.
at it, it was a witch hunt, and that's part of the doxing process. You know, it's unfortunate what happened to those people.
It starts with Trump saying to Pelosi a day or two before, why don't we send over 10,000 National Guardsmen to protect the Capitol so that everybody will be at ease? We'll surround the Capitol, 10,000 National Guardsmen, and Pelosi said no. Why did Pelosi say no? She said no.
But you won't hear about that.
Of course. No, you won't. Yeah.
And even you can sit there and we can play the audio 1,000 times and go, well, we got 250,000 people that stream. That doesn't even, you know, ice the cake. It doesn't do anything. So everybody's got to do it. And, you know, the only way that it's got to be grassroots. Everybody has got to get involved. You got to get mad as hell and not take it anymore, and you got to talk, and you got to bring it up.
And
I hate to say it.
You might want to tell your friends about our show, too, because we do this every day, Monday through Friday. It's a place where you can hear like-minded people, two guys, Bill and myself, talking about things that are bothering us, and you're probably thinking about too.
You know? Oh, definitely you're thinking about it. And, you know, if you're wondering what we look like when we get mad, the veins in my neck bulge up and they turn red, and my head turns red, and everyone goes, hey, there's Mr. Tomato Head over there.
My turkey jowls flap.
Or however you gobble, I don't care.
Anyway.
I can't do that. We need to set that on the sound effects. But you know what? Drop us an email. It's mail@itsanotherday.com. We got a toll-free number.
And that number is 833-583-6060.
And also, we're on Facebook. It's Another Day. We're on Getter. We are on Rumble. We're on iHeart. We're on Anchor, Spotify. I believe we're getting Pandora. YouTube is a big, but we do have a channel there because I got a thing back. I said, you know what? We just made an opinion. They said, opinions
don't mean anything. Don't mean anything to them.
Yeah. You could sit there. Yes. You could tell a news story and say, well, my opinion. Yeah. So you can't have an opinion.
Keep your opinion to yourself.
Well, I can tell you what they can do with their opinion. But and the sun don't shine there. At least
I
think
you know, you hear about things that are happening with Twitter right now, that they're having all sorts of problems. I see where Jack Dorsey, he resigned his board position today. So this is a co-founder. He was the guy who was the chairman a year ago of Twitter. Now he's just a stockholder. He's out of it. He said that Elon Musk was absolutely correct when he said Donald Trump never should have been kicked off Twitter. And and I guess the board of directors and all those woke people at Twitter got ticked off at Dorsey, the founder of the company. Boy, if you ever see Dorsey, he kind of looked like Rasputin for a while. He would wear a dock, you know, like a outfit. He looked, you know, he's not a bad looking guy, but boy, he dressed funny. I guess when you are worth that kind of money, you can be eccentric. If you don't have that money,
you don't care what you know what? If you can dress as funky as you want.
Yeah,
to.
But if you don't
got the money,
if you don't have the money, you're not eccentric. You're nuts. That's the difference. If you have the money, you're eccentric. Hey, friends,
the same clothes though. You know,
that's true. Hey, listen. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll do it again on Monday, on Memorial Day.
Yes, we will. Memorial Day, and we actually really do a serious moment of remembrance for those that have fallen for our country. And you know what? Fly the flag.
Yeah.
Because Democrats will not fly the flag.
Yeah. Put the flag
out there.
That's how
you know a patriot.
Be very proud of this country. A lot of guys gave their all so that you can be here enjoying the freedom that you have. And if you don't think you have the freedom, if all you look at are the bad things, the shootings in schools and stuff like that, you're making a mistake. Because for every tragedy like that, there are 100-fold good things going on that you'll never hear about in this country. This is an amazing place.
A lot of great Democrats lost their lives for this country, too, fighting for freedom. Not for what's going on right now. I think that they would be sorely ashamed of what's happening.
Well, my dad and mom were Democrats. It evolved into something that they weren't a part of. It's what Ronald Reagan said. I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me.
Because he woke up and looked around one day, because politics, kind of like religion, is passed down through the family at the dinner table. Well, my dad was a Democrat, and his dad was a Democrat.
Oh, sure.
Damn it, I'm a Democrat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're going to have meatloaf on Monday. Spaghetti Tuesday. Now, we're Germans.
I like meatloaf.
We had Baruch's Wednesdays, and I loved Baruch's. And people are going, what the hell is that? Every nationality has a meat pie.
Except for Irish. The Irish are, you've heard of universal donors in blood. You know, we are a universal receiver. We like every other nationality's food. We do have Irish beer.
Shepherd's pie.
That's really England. That's really England. England is shepherd's pie.
I was told it was Irish.
No.
All this time I thought I was being Irish with the shepherd's pie.
We confiscated it. No, we do make a pretty good beer. Guinness is not bad. It can be a little tough. You got to get used to it, but it's
One of my favorite beers. Yeah, is Guinness beers. But lately, I don't drink beers. But you know, an Irishman walked out of a bar.
Really? That's very unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, seriously, it does happen.
We got to go, folks. Have a great weekend. Bye, Bill.
See ya. I'm getting a beer.